This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
Thanks so much for participating on our podcast. We really appreciate this. You know, as I've been telling all of our guests, I can't tell you how much I really appreciate people taking the time out of their busy schedule when they're trying to help themselves, their family, their friends, their company, employees, and so many people navigate through this. But we do feel that helping others navigate the process of reducing employee stress and anxiety during coronavirus is a very important topic. And a lot of people seem to want to hear it. So thank you so much for participating. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So in order to get started, it would be great to get some background information on yourself. So if you could start with your name, your title, and the company that you work with.
Absolutely. My name is David Greenberg. I am the Senior Vice President of Marketing for Acton Software, which is a marketing automation platform that helps companies grow their business and build great brand experiences.
And where is your company based?
Our company headquarters is based in Portland, Oregon. Most of our employees are actually located there, but we also have, obviously, employees across the nation and an office in London.
Oh, okay. And what was your headcount pre-COVID?
Well, I think our headcount pre-COVID and post-COVID is more or less the same. We are we have about 160 employees at our company, and we haven't seen a decline in numbers since COVID has started.
That's awesome. And in regards to employees working remotely, I know you have multiple offices, but did everyone work from one of those offices, or were any of your existing employees working remotely already?
Yeah, great question. Interestingly for us, about 90% of our employees worked out of one of the offices. Obviously, we work with a lot of folks outside of our direct employees, so there's a lot of experience and a lot of tooling around how to communicate and work virtually because we're working with clients and vendors and other folks like that. But yeah, most of our engagement was live or a hybrid between the two. So this is definitely has been different for us.
Great. So I know one of the things that I typically ask, and usually the guest is someone working in HR, is what was your initial employee response plan? But I'll take advantage of this now with you being in marketing and ask, when you created your employee response plan initially for this crisis, what was that process like? And were you involved in that in the marketing team? Was that just HR, or was there a combination of both?
Yeah, great question. To be honest, it was a full cross-functional effort. This is more, obviously, there's a whole communication part, but there's actually around getting the company plan and what our expectations and response and resources to help employees would be there. So I would say for Acton, everybody, we had several meetings with everybody on the leadership team from engineering to HR involved in creating our response plan. And I would also add that we had a response plan for our customer base, and a very different one for our employee base, too. So we had to respond to both at the same time.
Got it. And when you came up with this plan, how did you go about communicating it to employees? What did that look like?
Well, when this was all happening, sort of at least for us in early March, I mean, I think everybody kind of experienced a little bit differently, and there was some regionality to it. Long before the work from home orders had happened, sort of in early March, it was a very reactive. You know, obviously nobody in the company had gone through anything like this. This was a very new sort of scenario in front of the company, very different than, you know, having an upset customer, having a very great quarter. This was a very sort of global change. So everyone had to sit at the table, and you know, I think from the very beginning, we worked really hard to just be open about where we are. I think obviously transparency was a really important thing for us. And even when we didn't have the plan, we were very transparent that we were working on a plan. So employees weren't wondering and knew that there was something coming. When it came down to doing our, actually having, communicating what our response plan was and creating a forum for employees to ask questions. We actually did that over a Zoom conference. We've always had company meetings, and like I said, some portion is always on Zoom or on a, you know, sort of in a webcast environment. But we sent out a communication very quickly and sent folks, started work, you know, as we were learning this in real time, sent folks home the next day where we sent an email. And then we had a full company gathering about what was going on and how we were going to get through it.
As I'm listening to you speak, and I'm again thinking about your role as a marketer, it's really making me think that a lot of HR leaders right now had to overnight become crisis marketers. And so I'm not sure if you, before this, have any experience in marketing from a crisis perspective, but for all the HR and business leaders and anyone out there managing a team who's listening to this, what advice would you give them when best practices around communicating during a crisis, and what does that look like? Since so much of this really is going to come down to how you communicate to your employees, how often, and what that communication feels like.
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting angle. And yeah, I have had familiar, obviously, with crisis communications, everything from economic to public relations. I think there's just maybe a few things I would say. One of them is, especially when you're dealing with internal employees, it's clearly more than an HR function, right? This is like a company, I mean, it's a global issue going on. And this, you know, much of our messaging, as an example, came from the CEO. So I think it's really important, part one, that this isn't perceived as purely an HR crisis plan. It's a company plan. And obviously, given the situation, the HR team has a huge weight on their shoulders in terms of making sure employees are taken care of and resources are made available, et cetera. But at the first, I think this is something big enough that, in, you know, often comes with crisis. It needs to be more than one department. There needs to be a united leadership approach to this. So that's one thing. The second part I would definitely encourage is frequent, transparent communications. I think if people don't know what's happening, things can sometimes be made up, or things can be derived a little bit maybe more urgent than needed. I think there's a lot of good leadership and a lot of confidence is just being that transparent and authentic about where you are in the process. And obviously, every crisis situation is a little bit different. But in this example, even if we're unclear where all the resources employees can go to, or we're not clear what crisis policies we need to make in place, I think letting the team and letting the broader employee base know that the team's working on it, cares about it, is a second very important part of it. The other thing I would add is just, and I think something sort of this scenario, this goes without saying, is just be as authentic and truthful about where you are. I think in crisis communications, and like I said, there are different scenarios, it's really easy to try to make people feel good. And I think it goes much further to just be very authentic about where it is. And you know, obviously everybody is working with good intent to get to the best outcome. But I think waiting too long can be problematic, and trying to sugarcoat things can be problematic, especially in a situation like this where health's on the line and people are looking for real information.
With 90% of your workforce that typically worked in the office now working remote, how are your employees responding to remote work? And what types of things have you and your company been doing to try to provide them with some type of certainty as people are dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety?
I think the first thing was, to your first question, I've been actually blown away by our employees on how easy the teams have migrated to remote work. Now, one caveat is we're a technology company, and a lot of people have a lot of technology experience, and that tends to be sort of maybe on the little more cutting edge of technologies, and remote scenarios are very common. But I also feel like the employees in general have really, like, behind what's going on in the world, have really sort of united behind staying in touch and adopting our tools. We do a lot of web conferences, clearly. We try to have policies like keeping our video on and just making it a much more human interaction than something purely digital. But I've been very impressed by our employee base overall around moving to sort of a remote environment without missing a beat in some ways. That's what it feels like. I think we've had many leadership discussions about how we're seeing that happening. I think the thing that really changed was a lot of our normal forums where we all get in a room and feel the energy of the people in the room has really gone away. So we have had to make a lot of adjustments in terms of our normal sort of communication forms and channels changing. So obviously we moved, for example, to a fully remote weekly team meeting on Zoom, which can be a little bit hairy when you have 150 people and on there. And, you know, obviously when people ask questions, we like to be as open as possible. We've also had to invent a couple new forums. We have an open Q&A session every Friday, total volunteer. People can submit questions anonymously, ask live. We want to make it whatever is most comfortable for them. And in many ways, it can be on sort of what's happening in the world, but a lot of it obviously fits around that. But just an open forum where the questions that aren't getting answered can be asked and answered. We have the whole company engaged often. You know, it's very much led by our CEO, but she calls on the right constituents inside of the company to respond. I would say outside of the broader company, there's a team dynamic in this too. I know, for example, on the marketing team, we've started including a little bit more fun interactions because we miss the sitting around talking around someone's desk and sort of the water cooler part of it just quickly vanishes. And let's be honest, part of having a good, for a lot of people, part of having a fulfilled job is the relationship part of it too. So for example, we've created this virtual happy hour that we have 2 days a week. And I would say that we've been doing this we've had 10 of them. I think every single member of the team has made every one of them, just showing that they're looking for the social activity.
Interesting. And with that level of social interactivity people are looking for, I've been talking to other business leaders who said some people feel like they now are getting more engagement from their employees than they actually had when they were working in the office. So I'm curious if you and your leadership team have already thought about ways you can continue to implement some of these things when you get back to the office, whatever that new normal looks like, or so many of these things solely based for remote work that there's not really room to bring them back into the normal workplace.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. And I would say we definitely have felt more engagement, more folks leaning into the business. And we've actually had a little bit of a different conversation, which is, it's a very, you know, when you're used to coming into the office, now you're sitting at home all day. And you have a crazy world happening behind you where you're basically locked in the house. And I know for me personally, and I talked to a lot of folks on my team, it's having work and having a place to go to and stay focused on that's different than a virus has been a welcome thing. And I truly think that has led to a lot more of the engagement and being able to focus on something and see good forward progress in an area outside of sort of the sickness and the news, I think has been a positive thing in people's lives. And I think that actually is driving a lot of the engagement taking place around there. Absolutely trying to learn around, hey, if we have, we used to only have like a weekly meeting and now we've created these three, four vehicles that everyone's showing up. How can we extrapolate that when things go back to as normal as possible? Absolutely thinking about that. And I would expect some of the programs we've launched in the last month that have had a lot of enthusiasm would be continued.
Thank you so much for sharing the insights, the wisdom, and everything that you've learned during this experience. It's really helpful, and I just want to say thank you on behalf of all the listeners as well, because I'm sure they've learned a lot from your experience. So we really appreciate it. I hope you, your family, your team, everyone stays safe and healthy, and really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I wish everyone luck.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.